stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got to get away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 52 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you haven't gone and checked out the South Harmon Draft Guide, you need to go do that. Go to draftguide25.com and get access to the South Harmon Draft Guide. The South Harmon team has put together a guide that we've been continually updating ever since it released back in February. So you can see how our opinions have changed of players as we've gone from pre-combine to post-combine to now post-pro day analysis. We'll be updating it yet again once the NFL draft happens, so you'll be able to see our entire process of how we're evaluating these rookies. Once again, that's draftguide25.com. Here at South Harmon, we're proud to announce a new partnership with Fanatics. If you go to certified shit, that's certified sh.it, you can use the link there to buy any of the jerseys that you want that are NFL authentic. Right now, there is no discount for using it, but if they find that our audience is using it, there may be the ability for us to do some awesome giveaways or to have some discounts associated with our link. So go to certified shit, that's certified sh.it, in order to check it out. This week, I'm investigating a question I asked myself after my previous roster construction planning episode. In that episode, even my best best ball teams were still missing somewhere between 4 to 6 players out of my ideal of having 2 players for every single spot in my lineup. When I saw that, and I knew some of those teams were extremely competitive, being top 2 seeds and winning multiple championships. I saw that and figured there needs to be something that tells me before I get to that point that I am on the right track and getting really close. And is there a way that I can quantify that based off of the number of players? Because I don't want to just say, oh, I can get close where I'm like 6 players away and that's how I know I'm a top team. 6 players away from the ideal that I had myself set up just doesn't seem right to me. So I decided to check out a theory that I had. And this theory is that if I have potentially a top 6 player, then they are providing so many top weeks that maybe I don't need to have 2 players for that spot. Maybe I only need the 1. And this kind of came out of the idea of Lamar Jackson. When I was looking at Lamar Jackson's stats, I noticed that he was top 12, 15 out of 17 weeks. When I have 2 players filling up a lineup spot, I'm shooting for 80%. And 80% off of a 17-week season would be only 13 or 14 weeks. So based off of that theory, I wanted to see if reliably having a top 6 quarterback would mean that I'd get QB1 performances, if having, say, a top 12 quarterback would reliably get me top 24, and whether that would translate over to other positions. So if I had a top 6 wide receiver, could I reliably get top 12? If I had top 12 wide receiver, get top 24, top 18 wide receiver, top 36, etc. So I decided to go through and investigate this at all of the positions. I'm going to deem a success for this as doing better than that 80%. That 80% to me comes out as 13 weeks exactly. That is going to be what I deem a success. The reason being, if I have 2 players that I have a 50% chance each of hitting my lineup on any given week, then I am going to run the math and see that about a quarter of the time, I'm not going to get either of them hit the threshold I want them to hit. And that quarter of a time ends up accumulating to 4 weeks over the course of the season. So if I'm trying to have an individual player take that entire place of another player, I am going to have them need to be hitting 13 weeks over the course of the season. So with that, let's get into the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks were the first one that my mind went to as the ones that this strategy would work well for. And you can see the huge difference between the top four quarterbacks and the rest when looking at this data. So just purely going off of weekly projections, I'm not actually going to be doing this based off of individual names, but the projections going into the week. The top four quarterbacks finished in the top 12 for 12, 11, 13, and 13 weeks. Now, if you average that out, that all comes down to just slightly below the 13 out of 17 that I am looking for. However, when looking at the specific names, you see some of the beginning of the season factors come into play. Patrick Mahomes ended up being in that top four range for like five of those weeks, when we knew pretty quickly, those of us who were attuned to the rushing quarterback ceiling, that he probably should not have hung up there as near as long, and we should have substituted in Jaden Daniels much earlier. And so if you had done that, I believe that you would have gotten yourself right at that number, where maybe even this number, just variance-wise, it just came in slightly below. So for those top four quarterbacks, and I'm going to name those guys Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, you can treat them like if you had two back-end quarterback ones. That is the power that they give you over the course of your entire roster. So rather than having quarterback 11 and quarterback 12, you can just have one of those top four guys, and you will essentially match that performance from purely a, hey, I need a top 12 quarterback performance every single week. However, once you get outside of those top four, it looks pretty bleak. So going down the list, you start to see some of the variance come into play with these numbers, but keep in mind the total average. So the number of weeks filled by positions 5 through 12 go 7, 6, 14, 5, 5, 10, 8, 10. Obviously, we have some variance in there. But if you average all of that out, you end up with 8.125 weeks over the course of the season, which is right about that 50% number. So basically, outside of the top four quarterbacks, you've got a 50% chance that you're going to get a quarterback one performance out of them that week, as long as they are projected to be a top 12 quarterback that specific week. We also know some of those guys that are down further in that range, they will shift up and down in and out of that quarterback one position. And so that's why I usually want to have two guys trying to fill a quarterback one spot. You can see off of this that the odds that you're going to get that quarterback one position is right around that 50%. And in fact, it's slightly below, which maybe allows it to match that quarterback one through four. Maybe meaning that the variance in terms of me saying, hey, it seems slightly below where I'd want it to be, is in fact the proper range to line up quarterbacks 5 through 12 when compared to quarterbacks 1 through 4. Now, if I'm trying to do a similar thing to end up with a top 24 quarterback, I end up seeing a similar range of the top 4 and then the rest. With this, it's not quite as stark though. So, if you're just trying to get a top 24 performance, quarterbacks ranked 1 through 16 accumulate on average greater than 13 weeks in the entire season. Once we hit rank 17, the numbers start to go down a little bit, but they don't go down that much. We see 17 through 24, they are 10, 10, 13, 11, 13, 16, 12, 14. When you look at those results, you end up with an average still of 12.3 weeks. So if you're aiming for a top 24 performance, you really don't need to have that many options. You can just kind of go with, hey, I've got a top 24 quarterback, and you're probably going to be close enough. So what does that mean for how I might be able to adjust my two quarterbacks for a spot strategy? Obviously, if I have a top four quarterback, I can count them as two quarterbacks for my best ball leagues. I am going to be a little bit more injury prone, but in terms of a weekly basis, having one of those top four guys, I can count as two of those spots in terms of my ideal. And then when I'm trying to hit that top 24, if that's all I'm trying to hit, I can potentially get away with one guy, especially if it's a quarterback who's consistently in the top 16. So if I just have two quarterback ones in a best ball league, I'm oftentimes going to end up with two top 24 quarterback performances. Now, because it's best ball, I am going to feel a little bit more comfortable if I have a third quarterback. But with looking at these numbers, getting four quarterbacks is not as hard of a priority as I thought it might have been. Instead, having higher quality options can definitely make up for a lot of that difference even in a best ball league. Moving on to running backs. For running backs in 2024, the variance really struck the position hard. For running backs that were ranked first or second or third going into the week, they had a worse chance of finishing top 12 than the running backs that were ranked 4 and 5. Those numbers are 6 weeks, 3 weeks, and 8 weeks for ranks 1, 2, and 3, and 11 and 12 for ranks 4 and 5. But in terms of an overall, hey, if I have a top X running back, can I just reliably plug them into my lineup? It doesn't get any better than that 11 and 12. It goes down to 9, 6, 8, 6, 6, 4, and 12. Once again, showing the variance that 12 comes up for the 12th best running back of that week. 12 times was the 12th best running back able to finish top 12, and only 3 times was the second best ranked running back. That just seems off. And is one of those things where 2024's variance is going to play a huge factor into this. But overall, what does this tell us? This tells us that if we are trying to reliably have a number one running back every single week, then we cannot rely on having just the absolute top running back. We need to have multiple guys that we are throwing at the problem. And those multiple guys need to be coming from multiple RB1s. So for trying to make an RB1, I am not going to advocate for doing a similar strategy like you could do with the quarterback position. If you're trying to make an RB2, it looks a little bit different. For position ranks 1 through 12, you end up with 13.1 games. That means that if you have 3 RB1s on your team, you can count that as filling both your RB1 and your RB2 slots in a best ball league. That's really useful if you are stacking yourself at a ton of really high-end running backs. I know I have a few teams set up that way, and that maybe explains how they were doing so well, because I consistently have an RB1 who's a top 12 guy and that RB2 who's a top 24. Now, for the rest of it, from 13 through 24, it's not as dismal as it was for trying to hit an RB1. Positions 13 through 24 average 10 and a half weeks over the course of a 17-week season where they are hitting running back 24. So what we see is a lot of those guys are actually doing better than that 50% mark, because that 50% mark would be 8.5. So that does mean that even though those RB1, the ranks 1 through 12, are able to consistently hit in the top 24, the rest of the top 24 is actually doing a better job of hitting in the top 24, that if that's what you're aiming for, having two RBs ranked 13 to 24 is actually going to be superior. Having two RB2 types is going to average out to having 14.3 weeks covered. That is an extra week compared to using an RB1. However, in the grand scheme of things, that's not going to be a huge difference. Instead, the reason to go for more RB2s is from having more players to try and fill flex spots and things like that. So while it is slightly superior to have two RB2s compared to one RB1 in order to fill an RB2 spot, I'm still going to call it good enough in order to fill an RB2 spot. Now, if we're trying to fill an RB3 or what would potentially be a flex, it is a similar story. Running backs 1 through 28 now become the threshold. Anybody in there can fill that spot solo by themselves. And then running backs 29 through 36, they're the ones that are not doing near as great. They come out to an average of 7.875 weeks covered for your RB3 or flex spots. So once again, if you have somebody 1 through 28, you only need one person to fill that RB3 or flex, but you need two people in order to be able to fill that if you're going from ranks 29 through 36. Moving on to wide receivers, we see where wide receiver variance hits us really, really hard. So wide receivers ranks 1 through 7. Only average 6.4 weeks in the top 12 over the course of the season. So your wide receiver ones, they are not consistently hitting wide receiver one numbers for you. And then obviously that gets even worse when you go ranks 8 through 12, where they're averaging just under 4 weeks. Even if you go down to trying to make a wide receiver two, if you take wide receivers 1 through 7 again, they still only come out to only having 10.6 weeks covered individually. And so, even if you're trying to get a top 24 wide receiver performance, I would not count a wide receiver 1 overall in terms of projection to be hitting that by themselves. In fact, looking at these numbers, I'm not even sure if you had two of them, you could count them as reliably getting a wide receiver one performance every single week. Instead, you're relying on some of your wide receiver twos to randomly give you that wide receiver one performance when your wide receiver ones are not putting up the production that they need. We see that all the time in fantasy, that our wide receiver ones, sometimes they have the ability to explode, especially your top tier guys. But you are not necessarily going to see them consistently be wide receiver ones week after week. There's just too much variance in that position on a week-to-week basis. Going all the way down to trying to get a consistent wide receiver three, you finally get to the point where those top six guys are all 13 or higher, but outside of that, everyone gets significantly lower. And yes, 7 through about 19, they end up with a lot of double-digit numbers, but they don't go higher than 12. So overall, with wide receiver, I'm still going to say I want two for every single position in my lineup. I want two wide receiver ones, two wide receiver twos, two wide receiver threes, etc. Lastly, I want to look at tight ends. Tight ends tell a similar story to the wide receiver ones, at least in tight end one. With tight end one, it is a slightly better average. If you average tight ends 1 through 7, you end up with 9.1 weeks covered. That is slightly better than 50%, but that's still not great. That's not something that I would use to say, oh, I have a tight end one and I can reliably have them hit tight end one numbers for me every single week. I'm still going to want to have multiple tight end ones in order to hit tight end one numbers consistently. Now, if I'm trying to hit tight end two performance, those top 12 tight ends are actually really good, especially those top seven guys. Every single one of those top seven guys exceeds the 13 games number of achieving a top 24 tight end performance. And then even those ranks 8 through 12, they still come out to average 11.5 games for each of those players. So overall, having a top 12 tight end is a really, really high probability that you will have a top 24 tight end. And so if you say have a start two tight end league, then having two top tight ends for one spot and then another top tight end, say you went tight end heavy like I am known to do in some of my tight end premium leagues, then I would say that you have that position locked down, that you don't need to get more guys for those top 24 weeks outside of obviously your random speculative best ball players, especially if you're rostered really deep in that league. So that ultimately boils down to the ending of the takeaways from this episode. The takeaways are that if you want a quarterback one, you need a top four quarterback. If you just want a top 24 quarterback, then you need somebody from the top 16. For running backs, it's impossible to get a reliable RB1, and you're going to need two RB1s to fill one RB1 spot. But if you're just trying to fill a top 24 running back, you can utilize a single top 12 running back to do so. Although top 24 running backs, or two RB2s, are slightly better in terms of having better coverage for the total number of weeks. If you're just trying to get a top 36 running back, then any running back in the top 28 will do just fine for that. Wide receivers, the variance just hits way too hard. Reliably having a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two off of wide receivers is just not something that you can reliably do. A wide receiver three, sure, the top four guys can get you there, but the reason you have top four guys rostered is so that way they can fill the top one of that extremely high ceiling. If you have three of the top four wide receivers, sure, you can count the third one as being your wide receiver three and covering that position for you. But frankly, I don't think too many people have that. And with tight ends, to get a tight end one consistently every single week, you want to have two tight end ones on your team. But if you just need to fill a tight end two spot, you can use a top 12 tight end and get away with it. And you can utilize one of those guys in order to fill that spot in your lineup. That's everything that I have for you this week. Go check out everything we have at southharmonff.com. There I have the Warp tool, and it's where you can also find links to everything else that we have going on at South Harmon. That's everything for this week, and as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.